Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand.
Hey everybody, Rod Peterson here. NFL season has kicked off and it's time you join the action. Come on down to Houston with Darren DuPont and me on the inaugural Rod Peterson Show VIP sports trip with Uniglobe Travel. We'll catch the Houston Texans and Denver Broncos at Energy Stadium, plus your choice of NBA games with the Houston Rockets home to the Phoenix Suns and Sacramento Kings. And if you're a real football fan, you'll want to join us for Texas State High School playoff action. All this, plus live Rod Peterson shows with Dupes and me. Are you sold yet? For more info or to book now, visit rodpeterson.com/trip.
From Vancouver to Halifax, Flin Flon to Estevan, he's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, Canada. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on this Wednesday, September the 11th, 2019. It is that Where Were You Day.
Absolutely.
We're going to talk a little bit about that right off the top, and then we'll talk a little bit why we're not going to belabor the topic of September the 11th. But I'm Rod Peterson. He's Darren DuPont. If I'm Wayne, he's Mess.
I would have said Yari.
How's that? Used that once already. Yeah. And who are you? Glenn Anderson?
Esa Tikkanen.
Yeah. Derek the Duke Myers joining us here in the bunker. He's all over it right out of the chute.
We could have been the Legion of Doom with Lindros and LeClaire and...
Legion of Boom.
Renberg.
Mm-hmm.
The words doom have crossed my path.
On today's show, we've got some CFL greats, some very interesting stories. James Johnson will be joining us from, I believe, Atlanta, Georgia today. The MVP of the 2007 Grey Cup. Did you know that? Of course you knew it, but you need to be reminded of it. Yes. Three Grey Cups that November Sunday, or three interceptions in the Grey Cup game that November Sunday, and he can't even get a free cup of coffee in this town.
But you bet you Ryan did what he can.
I joke, of course, but I want to talk to him about his legacy. And being a Grey Cup MVP, because Corey Sheet still comes up here and does speeches. He was only here 2 years. What's the difference? I'm excited to talk to James Rock Johnson, who's one of our regular viewers every morning from Atlanta, Georgia. And Jesse Lumsden, Lummer. Man, has that guy got a long resume. Hey?
Does he ever?
Heck, Crichton Award winner.
Is he still the U Sports all-time rushing? He held that title at the time.
Has to be.
I'm not sure if
be.
He is. I know he held it when he retired.
CFLer. Olympic bobsledder, broadcaster, Jesse Lumsden will be with us. I'm looking
GQ
forward to
model.
That. He's a good-looking guy. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. This is show number 71, and for me, there's only one 71. Don't look at me like
Mike Foligno?
Bobby Jurison.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The great Bobby Jurison. I should have brought in my headband. If I'd known where it was or where my mom's stuck it away, I would have brought it in
the
today.
The kamikaze headband?
Rising Sun.
Yeah.
You might have heard of the guy of Jenny Malkin.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about famous number 71s.
Who's in the news, too.
Oh. Yes.
What did he do?
Well,
go ahead.
Okay. So it just came out that Evgeny Malkin requested a trade from the Penguins if Phil Kessel was going to still be around.
Oh, really?
So Malkin,
wouldn't play with him.
Malkin was the reason that Kessel was shipped out of town.
Not enough hot dogs to go around.
One of the reasons, anyway.
Wow.
Yeah. Mean Girls 3.
He scored more goals than I did.
Exactly. We can't get along.
I don't know what you guys are talking about right now.
Mean Girls?
I've never watched it.
Your daughter hasn't watched it?
Maybe. I wasn't in the room.
There's hockey talk. It's funny you say that. I got a notification on the Score app this morning, which you probably did too, that Mitch Marner turned down $11 million a year.
Yeah.
Is where you lose me. This is where the NHL loses me, and to a certain extent, all of the big four leagues. But come on, 7 years, 8 years, 3 years, 11 million. What? Just get out and play.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
I know.
Because you're not Ezekiel Elliott. I get if Zeke wants to say I'm the highest paid running back in the NFL because I'm the best running back in the NFL. who's going to argue that? Mitch Marner? You can't accept being the fourth highest paid player in the NHL, which is what that contract would have made him?
Was it term?
Yeah, well, it's a little complicated. I mean, it's not super complicated.
Make it quick.
But if we're going to talk about it later in the show, Clark should get Darren Dreger's tweet because it doesn't make sense for us to be throwing around numbers if you can't read it. and actually make sense of it.
I bet it's all incredibly confusing.
But
only thing that Rod heard was 11 million.
It's a little bit of term. Right. They want him to sign for a lower average annual value and longer term than Matthews. So at 11 million, it's lower average value and it's longer term. That's where he's done.
I hate this.
How many Jeeps could you buy with $11 million?
Oh, I want to get into that.
Because I noticed it's not sitting outside
from
today.
From the cheap seats. Trent in Norway is watching. Good evening, Trent. Over in Norway, he has pointed out the great Leif Pettersson from the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, number 71. May he never be forgotten. The CFL on TSN, Leif Pettersson, so cool. So cool.
And shout out to his daughter,
Kate. And his daughter, Kate, carrying on his CFL legacy. Thank you. Got to go to Norway for a damn Leif Pettersson reference. But we got it. So thank you. You mentioned Big Bird. Can I just say this? I was down in Gladmar, Saskatchewan yesterday.
Didn't drive it down there.
It is. I could throw a stone and hit the U.S.-Canada border from Gladmar. You know that.
Yes. Yeah.
So I went down to speak to the kids there. I had a real long monologue written out, and I'm going to skip it. But I went down on World Youth Suicide Prevention Day and spoke to them about mental health. Resiliency was a big topic. Snapping back, if you don't know what that means. None of the kids in the school even knew what resiliency meant. So we talked about snapping back in life. God knows I have. And substance abuse prevention and motivation. And I get down there and they're like, where's Big Bird? That's the very first thing. Wow. People, it's a piece of crap. It's a 1975 Jeep CJ that I'm afraid to take out of the city, quite frankly. Going on the ring road, I get a little, is it going to make it? We're building this way up too much.
No, we're not. I do not believe we're building this up too much.
Shows, snow and shine.
How did you do in that, by the way? I never did see the results in your show.
I didn't win. And if, as Ricky Bobby says,
if you're not first,
you're last.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I didn't win it. That's all that matters.
It's going to be like a marathon team. You're going to take Big Bird on the road to Gladmere or somewhere, Saskatoon probably.
No.
And we'll follow you with vehicles and car parts and gas.
I just want to get a trailer.
Tow trucks.
Yeah, we'll follow you. Support team.
I will say this about Gladmar. Just a couple. And I won't go into the long soliloquy or monologue, but this young kid, maybe 10, was dialed right into what I was talking about. I was telling my story. And then this kid, he's looking at me and I said, any questions? Kid puts up his hand. Why do you do this? And he meant go out and speak right. Like this. And I thought, what a question. And I should be prepared for this because I get it everywhere that I go. But there was something in the look in his face is, why are you doing this? So the stock answer is because he asked. Your principal, Chris, Mr. A, asked. That's the number one reason why I go. If anybody wants to see me speak, I'll come. But a little further to that, I became a Rider fan when Jeff Fairholm came to Mrs. Rolsma's English class in 1988 in grade 10 in Milestone, Saskatchewan. I fell in love with the Riders that day, and it's never ended. And I never did drugs in my life because a guy came to my school when I was 9 in the Milestone Elementary School gymnasium and said, don't do drugs. So I didn't. Two major themes in my life from guys that came out to our little town. Mm. So if I have a chance to give back or pay it forward, I'm going to take it. Why wouldn't I? If I could have the impact in somebody's life like those guys had on mine, I'm going to do it. And the other thing, McKenna Henry and I have talked about this, Riders number 74, on charitable acts. I said, why do you do it? He said to me, why do you do it? He goes, he himself, and if you know Mac's story, it's a wild one. He goes, I put out so much bad in my life. I will spend the rest of my life putting out good. And I don't know if I'll ever catch up, but I'm never going to stop. And it's no different from me. So that's why I do it to that kid. I wish I had a better answer at the time, but I was up all night. Why do I do this? I was thinking about it all night. I don't think this kid knew the gravity of the question.
The kid threw you a dirty knuckleball there.
Oh, like, yeah. I'm like, oh, man, what do you mean by that? All he said, why do you do this? And I thought about it all night long. And I'll tell you what, we get 10 times more back when we go out and do that than the people in those towns. But I'll also say this. I'll also say this. They were so excited. They got a new cell tower out there. 4 bars. Strong like bull.
4G.
4G. Yeah. How'd you know? Did you hear my story?
No.
They got a new 4G tower.
That's just the latest, isn't it? That's as good as it gets.
And it reminded me of being floating up on Emma Lake last month, same thing, out in the middle of this big lake, four bars. Strong signal right in the middle of the boat with Dave Lederhouse. There's a shout out to you, Sastel. They're putting in the work.
And a shout out to Gladmar.
And Gladmar.
There's some tough cowboys down there.
Who gave me this hoodie. Oh, they all know my brother down there. Say hi to your brother. Gladmar Regional School.
It's actually got your name. Yeah, it's got your name on the back.
They had that prepared for you. It's not like they pulled it out of the closet. We better get them a hoodie. They had that prepared,
they
obviously.
They embroidered my name on it for me. Here you go. And these kids now, they're all tuned in this morning to see their bunny hug on the show. And this Rod guy, who if they didn't know before, they do now. Gladmar was awesome.
Do they still play volleyball with cowboy boots on?
It's... I want to move on from Gladmar, but you're giving me all the great stories.
Well, it's a great place.
Well, but
it's in Saskatchewan.
Like
small, that's all it takes.
Town
it
Saskatchewan.
Is. Yeah, it is.
Right after school to 3:30, the bell rang and they're playing basketball. And there's this kid in a cowboy shirt.
Yes.
And basketball yes. shorts. And I'm like, Wade Beck.
Is that a buddy
just
from
like
my
cousin? Same thing. Faces change. Human nature does not. And now it's going to, maybe later on I'll get into my monologue about Saskatchewan. This is what makes us us.
Yeah, it is good.
Why should we ever change? Because it's been working for a long time. And I love it. It feels so good in here to get out into these towns and talk to people.
Well,
and look them in the eye and shake their hand and talk to them.
I mean, honestly, I've been in the city now for, 10, 12 years in Regina. And you kind of lose a little part and the remembrance of what Saskatchewan really is. And the cities are a big part of that. But I took Sebastian out the other day to see a combine. Some friends of ours, their combine was close to town. And like he was fascinated. For me, it was just that's what you grew up around. I mean, yeah. It was just part of what was in the shed. I mean, you just, if you wanted to go climb on the combine, you did. You probably were going to, be forced to clean it or something if you made a mess. But he was fascinated at this machinery. And I'm like, man, this really is Saskatchewan. And it's good to get out of the four walls of the cities once in a while and see what really drives our country.
The second I got out of the city, it's just...
Yeah.
It is. Like,
feels so
And
good.
Don't get me wrong. Love the city. I don't know that I could move back to the small towns.
You're right.
But boy, oh boy, it is nice to visit.
2 days ago, I did that. And I went for probably a 2-hour drive. And it was weird. I put on music and I'm like, I just don't want to go home yet. And I took a drive down Broad. I went all the way out past till I was out of the city. Turned across, went across Albert Street. I ended up going all the way down through past Deer Valley, through the valley, watching the leaves turn.
Beautiful.
Passed down some weird range road that led me through a creek, and I came up past Lumsden. I was just driving. I didn't have my GPS on. I just took
turns. Isn't that the greatest?
Grid roads. You see the fields. You see the valleys. It was the greatest 2 hours that I think I've spent in the last however long. It's awesome.
Dave has written in on Facebook. He says, as you said in an earlier show, Rod, if we have to explain it to you, then you don't belong. And I wouldn't say that we are welcoming to everybody, but you do need to be somewhat open-minded because it isn't for everybody. But I will say this, for the last 7, 8, 9 months, when I needed the people of Saskatchewan, they were there for me big time. So it's a nice little give and take back and forth between this show and the people of this province. Anyways, we are so off topic from what I thought. Casey writing in, I think Casey's in Winnipeg. He says, Rod, is your bell green today? It's transparent on the feed.
That's a private question.
What happened? Is your bell transparent? More cowbell. I don't know what happened here. This is getting a little cluttered for me.
Well, I see you got a new...
I bet you my wife just is gnashing her teeth at the clutter on the desk.
The Patriots helmet, where did that come from?
Connor the intern. Blame him. Okay. I'm glad you brought that up, by the way, because I want a CFL helmet. Because we're emblematic of all teams, I'm putting this out to the CFL head office because they watch every day in Toronto. Can we get a CFL mini helmet with a CFL logo, the one that I hate from Orange? That logo.
Oh, that will endure you to them.
I saw a poll the other day.
Can you send
that
me your
new
ugly logo?
Is the most disliked logo in CFL history, the new one. Did you see that poll?
Yeah, well, they've got the old one up right now.
The old one, which was my favorite. The white helmet with the red maple leaf on it. That was my favorite all-time logo. I used to use it all the time, and Mark Cohan used to peek on me. He would call me, Rod, why are you using that logo? We have a new logo. I'm like, but I like it. Now they've gone back to it.
And to be fair, look at when the Riders wore the retro jerseys in the Labor Day. Everybody loves those. Like, what's old is new again. Yeah. You know, it's everybody loves the retro. Everybody loves, you know, that feeling of nostalgia. And I, quite honestly, I love those Rider, the old jerseys. They look so great.
Yeah, they say that they should wear them every game. But you know what? There's got to be something special about this stuff. And it's special when they wear them.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's special to the marketing department. It's special to the Rider store.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's where it's special. $50 a ball cap.
Well, I'm actually glad to hear what Wayne has said in watching in Victoria, BC today. He says, it's what I love about this show, Rod. It's not just a sports show. You hit all topics. And I'm glad you said that, Wayne, because sometimes I never know if we're on point or not.
That's
other than being real is what the show is all about.
Yeah. So. You know what? And that's what I love about it. I mean, that's what I love about the conversation we're having this morning. It's the conversation we're having before the show starts, right? It's the conversation we're having after the show is over.
Pre-show meeting.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the post-show meeting.
And people love listening to that stuff.
You guys actually do have a post-show meeting, though. That I can confirm. There is actually show talk going on.
And a pre-show meeting.
Well, I'm not here for that ever.
That's more of a BS session.
Okay.
That's what I tell people. You know, when Taryn Bombing was coming in, we were chatting on the phone the night before, and I said, you know what? If you want to come in for the show, you're going to do the show. We get there about 9, you know, or someone's always here. Like, we're usually here by 9 for sure, an hour before the show.
What time did you roll in today?
Yeah.
Yeah, excuse me?
I rolled in.
Pardon me.
We were already live when I rolled in.
Yes.
But, you know, an hour before is when that pre-show meeting starts. I'm like, you probably want to hang out and see this and listen to this because it's one of those great BS sessions. And he's like, I love it. And when he left, he's like, I'm so glad you told me to come in early.
We've got so many things to get to. We've barely scratched the surface in the warm-up here. We don't even need a flood after this warm-up, if you will. But Jessica has written in from Winnipeg. She says, I can send you some Bombers merch for your table. And you know what? I would do that. I would put a Bomber helmet right here. The first CFL team that sends us a mini helmet, I'll put it up right here. I don't care who it is.
Challenge.
I would prefer if it was a CFL helmet, black with the gray logo would look so good. But if it's a Bomber helmet, I'll take it. I love the gold. And I love that royal blue jersey they wore the other day. Winnipeg.
There you go.
Is that okay? That's what it is.
They got to adopt that.
I don't know.
What else?
Those old jerseys.
The poll question.
Oh, that's a good one.
The Rams and the Huskies play Friday night at Mosaic Stadium. Dupes will be on the call of it on Canada West TV. Nice. It's the first ever Rams homecoming game. I assume, Derek, they talked about it at the president's breakfast yesterday.
It was mentioned.
I would hope they would have been all over
it. The quarterback, Mr. Donnelly, was the MC.
Mason Nias bringing the Huskies in to take on Josh Donnelly and the Rams. It's the homecoming game. The game doesn't have a name. So what do you want to call it? The season series, but it's only one game season series this year. So there should be a trophy.
Winner take all.
Like the name of all these great rivalry games, whether it be the Labor Day Classic or the Banjo Bowl or in the States, the Iron Bowl talking a lot about. The Apple Cup, your rivalry game. How is there not a trophy for this? How is there not a name? So we kicked this around yesterday and we ask all of our viewers, whether you're in the 306 or not, to please vote in our poll at Rod Peterson Show on our Facebook feed or on our website, rodpeterson.com. Four options we came up with, and they are the Wheat Bowl, which I'm kind of leaning towards myself.
Yeah.
The Sasky Cup, which you like, Derek. Didn't you say that's the one?
No, I got a different favorite.
The Great Western Bowl, to our sponsors, GW. And the Louis Riel Cup.
That's
because
mine.
Nobody knows, but the corridor between Regina and Saskatoon is called the Louis Riel Way.
Trail.
Whatever.
Come on.
Well, how would you know?
You can't be excited about it and then say, well, whatever.
There's no sign.
That's my personal favorite. I do like the Louis Riel Cup. I think it's a nice tip of the cap to some of our heritage, some history, and the highway between the two. You know, we call it the Trans-Canada Clash between the Pats and the.
That's how we do things, by the way, here. So, leading the poll right now.
Come on, Louis Riel people.
31.3% are voting for the Sasky Cup, which would be my fourth.
Yeah.
But we do everything around here as a democracy. When we sit around and have these post-show meetings, we talk about things we want to do with the show. We have a vote. And that's at least you're heard. You might not get what you want, but at least you're heard. Well, that's how we run things with this show, and that's how we run things with the poll. So if it has to be the Sasky Cup, that's what it'll be.
We got to get Mike Thomas' opinion on this
Football
one.
Saskatchewan.
Yes.
We'll be back. James Johnson on the program today. Jesse Lumsden. And a whole lot more, as a matter of fact. This is the warm-up on the Rod Peterson Show. Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcasts at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Time is running out on the employee pricing of our 500 new vehicles in stock. Get up to 19 grand off new F-150s. The employee price on this Super Crew 4x4 is just $34,999 plus tax. Employee pricing on all new Ford Escapes means up to $7,500 off. And we have over 100 in stock. Plus, get up to 16 grand in savings on a brand new Super Duty. We have over 60 in stock. The countdown is on. Employee pricing at Capital Ford Lincoln. Offers end September 30th.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Episode number 71 of the Rod Peterson Show. Time for a look at the sports update for Ballers Rec Room. It is official this time. Jordan Williams-Lambert is returning to the Riders. He signed an extension to stay with the team through 2020, and he was at practice yesterday. In a move we told you about Sunday night. The Minnesota Vikings re-signing Brett Jones, the Weyburn product. They finally got around to that announcement, so congrats to the Jones family. Blue Jays look to secure a series victory tonight. Toronto hosts the Boston Red Sox in the second game of a three-game set at the Rogers Centre. Jays beat the Red Sox 4-3 in the opener last night. Righty Wilmer Font will be the starter for Toronto tonight. Huh? Okay. Wilmer Font. Wasn't he the guy that did the... oatmeal commercials? Wilmer?
No, that was...
Wilmer somebody.
The Jays are closing in on a record of number of starters they've used in a year. I think it's like 20 or something.
That's a guy's name.
Antonio Brown has been accused of rape by a former athletic therapist. Brittany Taylor says there were 3 different incidents Brown sexually assaulted her. That's the latest thing in the NFL. That's come down within like the last 12 hours, literally. Ty writes on the Facebook wall, how long until we talk about AB again? I'm going to save the AB talk for a while. These guys want to talk about the Derek Taylor, John Ryan Twitter spat, which just isn't going away. 3 Down Nation's picked up on it, so we'll get to that later, soon.
Wilfred Brimley.
Wilfred Brimley, thank you.
How can
that
we
sounds
forget
like
that?
Wilmer Font, doesn't
kind of.
It?
I don't think Wilfred's taking the mound tonight for the Blue Jays.
They might have a better chance with Wilfred Brimley. That is the morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination, right in the heart of the Dewdney Strip. I'm so excited, however, to welcome to the program today the MVP of the 2007 Grey Cup, number 19, James Rock Johnson. And there he is this morning on video chat. Good morning, James. How are you, my friend?
I'm all right. And yourself, how you doing?
Hey, very well, very well. Maybe first, it's been a long time, frankly, since people have heard your name or we've chatted with you. So where are you joining us from today, James?
I am in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
Great southern state of Georgia. Yeah.
Oh, that's what Clark, our producer, was telling me. I mean, I can't see who watches this show, but he does. And he says, James in here is almost every morning watching the show, James. So it's kind of nice. Does it feel, why is that? A connection to Saskatchewan, or, you know, why are you a fan of this program?
Exactly. Connection to, you know, Saskatchewan. It was a great place for me. And being able to, you know, hear what's going on with football is also, you know, something I'd like to do as well.
So, James, I'm going to get into these questions of what's your life like now, what have you been doing since 2007, but let's go back to 2007. There should be a statue of you up, probably in front of the old place, Taylor Field, yeah. Or maybe the new. You almost single-handedly won a Grey Cup for us. Take us back to that season, if you will, and that day, and what kind of spot that holds in your mind.
Well, you know, it's something that's definitely going to be with me forever. I look back at it now and really appreciate it even more, you know, so than I did at the time. But just going into the 2000, going into that season, you know, with all the changes that had taken place, you know, you just wanted to come in. I just wanted to come in and be better than I was the previous year. And what's that? 2006. We went down and lost to BC in the conference finals, and that really, you know, that really kind of stuck with me after like kind of seeing the guys' face and the way that guys were feeling after losing that game, and it really made me, you know, want to prepare even more to go into 2007. So it couldn't have went better for me, to be honest, you know.
Well, you know what? I want to go back just a little before that. Tell our viewers, because a lot of our viewers are young, James. We're all getting a little old here, because 2007 seems like a blink of an eye ago for me.
I know, right?
And for you, but it's not. So talk about how you got to the Riders. You had to have been a Roy Shivers find. Talk about that history and what this team was, what was going on with this team once you got here and what you remember of it.
With the Roy Shivers, it was, you know, I think we had a guy come from Arkansas State before, you know, who had came down, and I guess he did well for himself. And so through that connection, you know, Roy had was looking into some Arkansas State players, and, you know, I had talked to him quite a few times, and he was telling me, hey, you know, he was going to bring me into camp. And, you know, it was up to me really to, you know, kind of just go out there and do what I can do to try to get a spot on the team. And so with that being said, I was just up for the challenge of doing that. And then, you know, going into the, just really getting there, I didn't really know what to expect. I just knew football. And so once I got there, you know, I was just pretty much like always kind of stayed quiet, stayed to myself and just focused on the game. And I would say every day in training, you know, I had a great training camp, and I didn't know whether I was going to make the team or not, but I just kept doing the necessary things, you know, that coaches were asking of me. And you know, as time went on, you know, I was blessed to make the team. And then that season was pretty up and down. You know, it was pretty up and down with the wins and the losses. And, you know, we made it to the playoffs though. So, you know, it was all just a good experience for me. I was happy to, you know, make the team and then become a starter, you know?
James, a quick story before I ask this question, but in the 2007 Grey Cup game, I was there with my brother, my dad, my sister. We were row two, and it was getting close to the end of the first half, so I said to my brother, I'm going to go upstairs and grab some beers for us before it gets to halftime. The line gets long. Next thing I know, the place just melts down. I come running back from my seat. You've picked it off, pick six, and my brother goes, he ran right by here. I just about jumped over and started blocking for him. He goes, he was so excited. So my question is, when did you just really feel like today was your day? Not just the Riders' day, but that you were in the zone and it was going to be your day and nothing was going to get past you out there.
Okay. I'm going to tell you the story. So it was, like I said, that 2006 season after kind of seeing the guys and, you know, we went down to Calgary. Defensively, we played very well. We ended up pulling out a close victory. And then going down into BC and then seeing that atmosphere, and BC really had the attitude of like they were going to kick our butts when we walked in there in 2006. And so I know I didn't play very well in that game and we lost. And I saw the locker room and it was, you know, it just, those were the faces I saw on my teammates. So at the end of the season, just going into the whole offseason. Then once the playoffs started for 2007, I knew it was a different game. Like you just really had to, you know, you could not be going through the motions. You just really had to be focused. And so just going into that, just going into it, that was my attitude. I just was really dialed in. And did I expect to have a game like I did? I'm not going to say that, but I definitely was mentally focused for something like that.
Unbelievable stuff. Do you still keep in touch with any of the guys from that season?
Yeah, I talked to McKenzie Anton from time to time. He was out here in Georgia for a little while. We would connect and get together. Me and him probably talked the most and hung out the most. But now he's moved from Georgia. I speak to, you'll be surprised. I speak to Terrence Edwards from time to time as well. But Kerry Joseph from time to time, we probably connect through Facebook, but just not a lot of conversation with everybody.
Well, you know, James, there's one, we go from the 07 Grey Cup to keeping in touch with guys. There's a question in the middle there we missed, and that's leaving the Riders. Like 2008, like right after the 07 Grey Cup, it was like a bomb detonated, and Kerry Joseph's traded, and everybody's going everywhere. Right. I mean, it's over a decade ago now. Tell me how and why you left. What was the deal there?
Well, you know what? I honestly, the way that it happened, let me see. After the Grey Cup, you know, I this is something I never told anybody, but I actually thought about walking away from the game, like just retiring. But, you know, my wife and was, you know, telling me I should, you know, just continue to ride it out. And so, I mean, I had a few issues going on at the time with contract situation. But, you know, Tillman, you know, pretty much took care of me and re-signed me for the 08 season. And so, you know, I didn't really, you know, the trade was kind of unexpected for me, you know. I thought it could have been a possibility though for the 08 instead of 09, but when it happened in 09, it was a surprise. So you know, that I got a call probably that day from Tillman, and he let me know and you know, wished me well on everything and thanked me for what I had done. So, you know, I just took it and hey, it was fine. I thought maybe that was best for me anyway, right? Because that's where things were taking me.
Well, I deal with a lot of guys in life after football now. So let me ask you, how did your life after football go? And when you walked off the field for the last time, were you at peace with that?
Yes, I was, because, you know, I could give you a long story, but I'm going to try to make it short. But, you know, me playing football was not a goal of mine. So it was just something that kind of, it was to me. So I just kind of rode it until it was over. You know, I never, growing up as a kid, thought football was going to be something that I was going to do. So once I got there, it was, you know, it was just really me playing the game for the love of the game. And, you know, I was blessed to get a check with it, you know. And so it wasn't, like I said, once it was over, I definitely was at peace with it. I actually had a chance to play in the arena for a year, but that's when I just said, you know what, I'm not going to do it. You know, I decided I'm going to just let this be it. And, you know, and that was it. So I was at peace with it. And my transition wasn't too bad. It wasn't too hard because, you know, my whole football career started late. So I was already out working, doing what most people do, 9-to-5s and stuff like that, trying to provide. So it was just pretty much having to go back to that and adjusting money-wise, right? But, you know, outside of that, it wasn't difficult at all.
And what are you up to now for the Rider fans and CFL fans that want to know?
Oh, right now, you know, I work for a great company Publix supermarket, which is a grocery chain, which we run pretty much all of the southeastern states. I work on the distribution side of things. And so, you know, it's just making sure that we keep our stores stocked and, you know, keeping things for the people, right? And, well, I also help out with, I helped out as far as training go. I still work with kids that I've coached in the past, like youth children. I've helped at some high schools. I'm always doing volunteer work just to kind of give back because that's a passion of mine as well. So, but yeah, that's just pretty much what it is for me now.
And lastly, by the way, it sounds like there's a hurricane going on in this building.
Oh, wow, it's
We're
pouring.
Pounded with rain here right now.
Really?
Yeah. Our producer Clark's telling me to ask you about the hurricane. Has Dorian affected you, your family, or anybody in your world?
It was getting close to Georgia, but it didn't touch Georgia. It didn't affect Georgia, but it did affect me as far as work go. Because we have we have distribution. Our home office is in Lakeland, Florida. So we have distribution centers out there, and you know, we had to pick up a lot of their workload here from Georgia. So it affected us as far as work go. I was working 6 to 7 day stretches, just making sure we get everything shipped out to our customers, you know.
Well, James, I'll tell you what, this has been awesome. Long time coming. You know you always have a home here if you ever find your way back, and I appreciate that we finally had a chance to hook up.
Hey, I'm glad you guys had me. I'm always connected to Saskatchewan, always.
Appreciate it, man. Keep in touch.
Oh, yeah, I will. Thanks. Have a good one.
James Rock Johnson joining us on the video feed from Atlanta, Georgia this morning. When I say keep in touch, we kind of have kept in touch since 2007. Facebook is a wonderful thing. I know the election is nigh, and I'm sick already of the anti-Trudeau, anti-Scheer, anti-everything. I'm sick of that, but I'll swallow it because I see Facebook for what the good things are.
Quite honestly.
And keeping in touch with your friends.
Yeah.
40 days till the election. It sounds like it's about to be a biblical flood out there right now. 40 days and 40
smoked.
Nights. It's unreal.
Not a Big Bird day today.
No.
Quack, quack.
You need your rubber boots
nice
in
day
the vehicle.
If you're a duck. But on James Johnson, just to close the book on that before we break, how would you describe his place in Rider history? And he did go to Winnipeg after the fact, so there's a Bomber connection there. But I want to say he's the Paul Henderson of Saskatchewan Rough Riders history. And now, because the Hockey Hall of Fame won't put Paul Henderson in for whatever the reason, I don't know what their reason is, but here, when the Plaza of Honor's kind of been scratching for quality candidates, put them in.
I mean, it is one of, and I don't want to get into a Rob Vanstone discussion here because he really is the historian that comes on this show once in a while, him and Hewitt. But it has to be right up there with one of the top single game clutch performances all time in Rider lore. I mean, there's, you know, Fairholm had a big game. You know, guys have had big playoff games. Darien's West semifinal here in 2013 is one of those games that people talk about. In the Grey Cup, three interceptions, a pick six. I mean, really, it has to be one of the top single game performances that we've ever seen by somebody in green and white. I can't think of others.
Put him in.
But you know me, I'm Vanstone would be the perfect guy to have that conversation with.
Well, plus he's on the Plaza committee.
Yeah.
And that as well.
We don't win the Grey Cup without him.
Oh no.
Right. Boom. We don't.
That last interception. Like, who wasn't nervous?
To seal the deal.
Oh,
who
yeah.
Who was not? I mean, you were in the booth.
I'm like, here we go again.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, you were there. I mean, you're calling
it. Oh, yeah, I was there. I was calling the game. I'm like, they're going to blow another one. And now it just happens to be in a Grey Cup. And then James just steps in front of Milt Stegall.
Yep.
Picks off Ryan Dinwiddie for a third time.
And then the handoff to Wes Cates. The handoff to Wes Cates.
And then the kneel down and bedlam.
Awesome.
Skydome erupts.
A boo going around. I touched it.
It was all great.
Touched it.
The
courtesy
trophy?
Of Abu. Yeah, we were second row.
Nice. Oh, great. That's memories. Cool. Warm and fuzzy.
Yeah.
Warm and fuzzy feelings. It is episode number 71 of the Rod Peterson Show today. I do want to do some September 11th recognition today. We're honoring all-time number 71s. And for me, of course, that's Bobby Jurison. I'd love to hear from you other CFL fans. What 71's your teams boasted.
Was Joe Poplawski, was he 71?
Joe Pop? Ask a Bomber fan. I don't know.
I think he might have been.
Gord Barwell, of course, for which there is a trophy named in the Athletes in Action world in the CFL. Evgeny Malkin. William Karlsson of the Vegas Golden Nuts. Golden Nuts. Freudian slip there.
Yep.
Because I was talking to Lawless just last night.
The Pope of Chili Town.
The Pope of Chili. What a story. Have I ever told that story on the air?
I don't know. What a great
story.
I don't know.
The day I spent in Las Vegas with Gary Lawless. Wild. Wendell Clark wore 71 with the Detroit Red Wings, as somebody's really? Pointed out on the Facebook wall. Leif Pettersson.
Joe Poplawski did wear 71.
How'd you do? Did you look it up?
Yes, I did. And the reason it's blazing in my brain, because he just drove me nuts over the middle for 100 years in those Labor Day games. It just seemed like the guy, he was like the precursor to Gronk.
Yeah.
That's what he reminded me of. He was just a monster out there.
We got a break. We'll be back. Jesse Lumsden on the way today, too. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at CastBox, Stitcher, and Spotify.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back to the program, everybody, on what's turned into a very rainy Wednesday in our part of the world. Although where I was last night in beautiful Gladmar, Saskatchewan, again, a stone's throw from the U.S. border, the sun came out. It was beautiful. But they're not in the field today. It can stop raining anytime. Show number 71, it's September the 11th. It is the obligatory where were you comment whenever we get to September 11th. Now, I was listening to U.S. Sports Talk Radio this morning, ESPN Radio, NFL Radio, and they weren't talking about September 11th. I really feel like, as far as America goes, they just want to move on. Is that fair? There's the memorial at the time. I know now the 18-year anniversary. but move on. I'm not going to spend all day talking about it. It reminds me a lot of the Humble Broncos tragedy. They just want to move on. It's okay to recognize the anniversaries of these things. You don't want to forget the people who lost their lives, but overall, you want to move on, especially as every year goes on. That's my take. But that morning, I was at the radio station doing the morning sports, and then it was that university breakfast, just like you had yesterday. Yeah, I went to that. Was I speaking at it? I don't know. I can't remember. It was a long time ago. But I remember being across the buffet line from Dan Farthing, Rider Great, 2001 was the year, of course. Scooping scrambled eggs on my plate. I'm like, hey, two planes went into the World Trade Center this morning. Can you believe that? And Dan's like, well, how big were the planes? I said, I don't know. They got to be just Cessnas or something. I can't imagine that they were huge 737s or 747s because we didn't know anything. And by that point, it was 7 o'clock in the morning. Do the breakfast and then go to Rider practice. And then you sit and you watch the coverage. And then you're starting to think of who do you know is there?
Well, especially the players.
Well, Rocky Henry. Do you remember Lloyd Rocky Henry?
Not really.
Wore number 82 for the Riders. Wonderful receiver. His uncle was a security guard in the base of the World Trade Center. He got out and he survived. But as time goes on, and I've been to New York a few times and I've gotten to meet people from there, the stories are wild about somebody they knew that was in the building or somebody they knew that should have been in the building, but for whatever reason, they called in sick that day. You know, real, you know, karma stuff or God stuff, whatever. But that was that. And then the Riders had a road. For the young people that don't know, it changed the world forever.
Absolutely.
Riders had a road game that week in Calgary. We didn't know if there was going to be games in the CFL. The NFL suspended their games that week. We ended up busing to Calgary for the game rather than fly because all airports were grounded. Bank accounts were frozen. Do you remember that? So we made it to Calgary, but then the Riders couldn't get any money for per diem for the players. So they had to borrow money from the West in Calgary to pay their players per diem to be out there for whatever it was, four or five days. It was, and that wasn't even as catastrophic as what happened in New York. So that was my take on what happened 18 years ago today. Wow. Do you remember where you were?
Yeah, I was at home getting ready for school. I think I just woke up and came downstairs because I wasn't an early riser. And I came downstairs and Mom had the TV on. And I remember just being like, hey, there's something going on. And then we went to school and we were watching it at school. They had it on at school. They wheeled in at that time, in the TV on the cart, right? And plugged it in and they had the TV on and it was crazy. We all watched it and we were all, it was a big moment. It was, and you didn't understand at the time just how big it was, right? You never really understand, you know, you think it's an accident.
Well,
or
not when you're a
happened.
Kid, especially.
No, definitely not. It doesn't seem like real life. But even then, you kind of, the further the day went on, the more real and the more serious and the more catastrophic you understood that it was.
I was in a place called Huntoon, Saskatchewan.
Never heard of it.
Well, it doesn't exist anymore. It's just a set of train tracks, but it was a small town at one time. Drilling a horizontal well, actually. And got up in the morning, came over from my shack. It was going to be my shift. And we had this great old geologist that worked with us. He was from Calgary by way of the East Coast. And he'd watch the news all day, every day. Like in the afternoon, he'd start watching the local Atlantic casts, and then he'd watch the local Toronto cast, and the local. And he was standing there watching, and I walked in, and the first tower had already been hit. And I was like, wow. And at that point, we thought it was a mistake. It was an accident, a pilot error, a plane error. Like you didn't know. And then we were actually watching as the second one hit. And at that point, it was, oh my, they're under attack. Like the country, and then of course things were surfacing, the Pentagon, Flight 93, like all these things were coming. There was, I mean, wild rumors. They didn't know what was real, what was happening, but it was very apparent on your screen. And then of course watching the subsequent collapse of both towers. I remember that I was in literally the middle, more in the middle of nowhere than the Gladmar area. Like there's nothing in Huntoon. So I didn't know that the banks didn't work because there was no ATMs in that area.
That still might be the case in some banks.
Yeah.
Actually, it was on the weekend for one bank in this province.
It really was. It was one of those moments that you're right. You just don't forget. You can't turn it away and it's emblazoned on your brain. I can just remember sitting on the couch in our shack at the drilling site and Terry just standing in front of the TV. And I mean, just dead silence. Like you just didn't know what to say.
Well, how it does remind me of the Humboldt tragedy is you're immediately thinking about who you know who might be there. And let's remember, it was September 11th, 2001. Garth Murray, who was the captain of the Regina Pats, Regina Kid was in camp with the New York Rangers,
right.
And I'd never been to Manhattan. I didn't know how far MSG was from Ground Zero.
Right.
Since I've now been there multiple times, I realize it's about 50 city blocks away. It's nowhere near. But you're worried, right? And we're trying to get a hold of Garth because I was with the Pats at the time. Are you okay? And of course, he's at the hockey rink and he's fine. Just absolute chaos. And it just reminds me of the Broncos mm-hmm. crash. Who do you know that was on that bus or should have been on that bus? It's the same thing. That was our 9/11. And it has changed the world. And I will remember this for the kids that don't know. You used to be able to get on a plane with just your driver's license to go anywhere. The riders used to, when we were traveling, their boarding passes would have player A, player B, player C, player D, player E, and then all the way around the elevator to player AA, player BB, player C.
Really?
And then if you were to wanted to switch your players on and off a roster, you could just,
oh,
their
really?
Names weren't on the boarding really? Pass back up until 9/11. And then all of a sudden, all the names had to be on there, the passports, everything. It just changed the way sports has done business.
Traveler 01352.
Right, all of that. There was no more wow. just getting on and off a flight as easily as it is or was back then. 2-hour Prairie Mobile text line, 306-840-8777. 840-8777. Where did this go? Oh, here it is. Still learning how to work this. We can have more people text the show than just Brady in Saskatoon. You realize that, right? We've got thousands of people watching and listening, which, by the way, we learned today we're 3,300 viewers away from 500,000. You weren't here, DuPont, because you rolled in at 9:58 Mountain Time. You didn't hear. We're 3,300 viewers away from 500,000, a half a million viewers.
For Facebook.
Just Facebook
That's
alone.
Cool.
That doesn't include...
Oh, no.
The people that are listening only, the radio feed, the online feed, if you will. But so if you can share, that would be great. Go down to the bottom of your screen and hit share to all your friends, folks. We could hit a half a million views today. That would be great. Anyways, not like Brady isn't important in Saskatoon.
Oh, no.
This is the kid that I said he's sneaking out of high school class to watch the show. And if he gets expelled or fails, I'm not taking responsibility for that. Brady has written us and says, hey, Rod, it's Brady. Just got 100% on my first math quiz.
Boom.
A little bit of a humble brag there. Checking in from my break in between classes. Just wanted to know your opinion on the AB rape accusations and the OBJ watch wearing situation. So on the Antonio Brown thing, I'm not going to comment. You guys can.
I got nothing.
Yeah. It's an accusation.
Yep.
Until we know a little more, not going to go down that road. I feel sorry for all involved. How's mm-hmm. that? Because I really do.
And I'm completely uninformed. Like I heard this headline, and that's all.
That's
I
really
know.
All that you need
quite
to know.
Quite
right now, that's all
yeah.
that it is.
Yeah,
Patriots headlines. Sent out a statement apparently, saying they're aware of it and monitoring it. And let's just move on because I'm tired of the AB thing.
If it's true,
thing,
it's a heinous
it.
Act. If it's not true, then
she's going to pay the piper.
I don't know where to go.
To the OBJ watch wearing thing, I love it. Odell Beckham Jr., who's mercurial like AB, wears a $350,000 watch during the game
and
on
said
Sunday.
He's going to keep wearing it.
Well, why wouldn't he? There's no rule against it. You can wear earrings. You can wear chains.
You're not allowed to wear hard objects. There is a bit of a rule.
That.
Yes, it's gray, but there is a bit of a rule.
There is. But he did come out. He was like, he's like, give it a break. He's like, if it wasn't a watch, it'd be something else. They'd be on me for tying my shoelaces. Wrong.
And that's true.
I'm on you because you lost by 30 at home to the
exactly.
Titans. That's why I'm on you.
You or society?
The people.
They're saying it was a smartwatch. Too busy checking his text messages during the game. No, I don't know if it was a smartwatch, but you know, they're going to come up with something, right? Some reason to point at it. I don't think it affected the way he played the game. I don't think it was dangerous to other players.
He had a pretty good game.
Yeah, but that's what the rule is, right? Something hard because it's something that could be dangerous to other players, right? Maybe that's the reason, but I don't know. It seems silly. It seems crazy to wear a $350,000 watch, though. Like, how do you get through that game? It's right on his wrist, pretty bare, right in the open, without that thing getting smashed. I don't know.
And rules is rules. We were in Toronto this year for soccer. My daughter has a nose ring. They wouldn't let her on the field until she'd got the nose ring out
or tape it.
Wouldn't let her on with tape.
Really?
Had to take it out.
Well, welcome to the world of one Roger Goodell. It's like, here's another thing I got to deal with. They're always going to try and find a loophole, a way around the rules, whatever. I'm an OBJ fan. That probably would shock nobody. So he's not hurting anybody, and I don't think he would have got on the field or been able to finish the game with the watch if it was found to be that egregious. So something to watch for in week two.
But it's just such a look at me.
Sheldon just said it. He had to monitor his steps.
There, see?
He had a step count going. The American Medical Association suggests 10,000 steps a day.
That's a lot.
For a healthy heart and healthy mind. 10,000 steps a day is not that. Maybe you should start doing it.
Did you not see me wheezing coming up the stairs today?
You might want to hit the elliptical treadmill climber, whatever. Listen. We'll get more into this next hour, but you guys did mention the John Ryan, Derek Taylor Twitter spat. Three Down Nations picked up on our comments on it yesterday. It's gone somewhat viral, and it's certainly not gone away. I saw what was said about me with my take on it, and I don't care what people think. I have support from the people that I want support from on my take on this. You guys' thoughts on the whole deal.
You weren't here for it, Derek. I kind of want to default to you.
In fact, the show and the subsequent video of Rods alerted me to it, so I went back and looked at the feed. As a spectator, it's funny. I mean, this isn't something that normally happens where you have a player and a broadcaster getting in a very public little disagreement.
Not on the same team.
No, exactly. I mean, this is just, it's kind of unique. As everybody knows, I'm a bit of a John Ryan fan because of his family. And then even more so yesterday, he was the guest speaker at the Cougars breakfast, and he was absolutely hilarious. He told some funny Stephen Hauschka stories. He had a great Marshawn Lynch story. So he was outstanding. It is unique. You don't see it very often. And it's a little cringeworthy. You're like, ooh, this is a team that just won six in a row. And we have public spats between the broadcaster, not just a reporter, the broadcaster, the host rights holder and a player on the team. And I do get it. I'm a stats guy. I'm an analytics guy, but there is, you know, this isn't baseball. Like, you just can't bust down the numbers and play. There is a bit of a feel and things to, when it comes to football. And I grant that I will always say this. Never played the game outside of the Celebrity All-Star Weekend, which I was quite poor.
Cover the girl.
That was the job. Couldn't
even. You had one job.
Hey, have you seen the length on her? She's got great length.
Lauren Lavoie. Sorry to derail you. Continue.
But it is a little cringeworthy, but it's one of those ones that you can't kind of look away and follow the feed of where people are weighing in. I will say, you know, John certainly wasn't going to stand idly by and have one criticize his work.
Yeah, that's... You're right. It is uncomfortable. It's even uncomfortable kind of talking about
That's the word, uncomfortable.
You know, it's in our business, right? And these are colleagues. And the stats are good. I mean, I said this yesterday. I love that segment because that's what made him, you know, Derek, who he is. He did tons of success on TSN.
Yes, of course.
But there's a difference nationally where you can be completely objective and when you're, you know, you've got the team. And, you know, I said, when all the chips are down, you're supposed to be the one guy who's got their back, right? The team's back. You're the voice of the team. So you kind of have to have the team's voice a bit. But I did see some of the online comments and some of the viewers and the listeners, they're not wrong because they said, well, where's the line? Like, you know, we're sick of homers everywhere where we can do no wrong and our team can do no wrong. And, you know, what's wrong with a guy? Is he not allowed to be objective? He does the numbers anyway. He's done them the same way for years, and he's just continuing to do them. He's not purposely picking, you know what I mean? So I get that, but at some point, yeah, you can be objective, but you still got to back up your guys when it's all said and done. You got to back up your guys. So that's what I agree. And I mean, yeah, it's just uncomfortable. And yeah, I don't know.
I tell you, one quick. I worked on the Oilers broadcast when they lost like 20 in a row after they traded Ryan Smith. You would have never put any of those bad stats out because you would have had Alan Watt in there with a big stick beating you over the head saying, we do not put that on the broadcasts.
True story.
That is absolutely 100% true. That's just my experience.
But nobody was going around saying that he's great either. So it's a fine line. You want to be able to be objective.
Oh, it was fine, all
right. You want to be objective, and you want to be able to be honest. You got to be honest, right? You have to have some trust. Some things thing about you, Rod, is that you're authentic, and when you say something negative, well, people trust it because you also are fair and honest, and you try and do it the right way. And you can be critical, but you have to back up your guys at the end of the day.
I feel like we're not done on that. But we do have to break.
I got
to
roll.
Oh, you're out of here?
I got to go sell memberships, buddy.
Okay, sounds good. Can I buy one?
You can buy one. You can't vote for me. You don't live in the Northeast. You can still buy one.
Next hour, Jesse Lumsden. I've got some great text messages to get to. The poll question's up. We'll get into all that coming back in hour two of episode 71. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Canada-wide clearance at Capital GMC pre-owned means clearance prices on every used vehicle in stock. That means special discounted prices on over 200 pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. Right now, we have over 40 Jeeps to choose from. Save thousands on this fully loaded, certified pre-owned 2018 Grand Cherokee Limited 4x4. It's only $36,915 plus tax. And this loaded, certified pre-owned Compass Limited 4x4 has a clearance price of only $26,998 plus tax. Canada-wide clearance at Capital GMC in Regina.
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter, that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends. For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.